is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The great state of Ohio, the Buckeye State, in the midterms. I spent three happy years as a young person in Cincinnati, Ohio, which is south on the Ohio River Valley. However, Selena Zito of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the Washington Examiner, the New York Post, takes us to northern Ohio, to the part of Ohio that has been well-to-do through the industrial changes and is looking to be well-to-do again in the digital changes of the 21st century. However, right now I learned from Selena, prosperity is on everyone's mind, but so is inflation, and those are competing values. Where there is no debate is about crime following the pandemic. And therein lies a major issue for the open Senate seat contest between J.D. Vance, a newcomer to politics, and Representative Tim Ryan, who is a veteran of the Democratic Party, a veteran of Eastern Ohio. Selena, a very good evening to you. You take us to Aurora, and you introduce us to a sheriff, 26 years in the Ohio State Patrol, now the sheriff in this area of Aurora. His name is Zukowski. What did you learn from Sheriff Zukowski at an event held for J.D. Vance? Good evening to you.
Well, good evening. Thanks so much for having me on. I learned that crime is an incredible weight on the citizens of Ohio, not just in the city, but also in the suburbs. The town I was in that day, Aurora, Ohio, is this beautiful, very quaint, very historic Cleveland suburb. It's located in Portage County. Forever and a day, Portage County has been reliably Democrat, and it has been part of Tim Ryan's congressional seat. He's won it handily over the years. However, he only won it barely 2 years ago in the 2020 elections. You know, this is the part of America where if you wanted to understand where the sort of earthquake in politics happened, it happened in places like Aurora, Ohio, like Portage County, where coalitions started to change, which goes back to the question of crime. The Republican Party has been more embracive of police, of police forces, of funding police forces, and for consequences when a crime is committed. And the Democrat Party in the past 2 years has become more anti-policing. And that is then the challenge for these voters, because they're experiencing crime in their communities, in what they thought were their safe communities. And they're going to vote that way when they go to the voting booth in what, less than 2 weeks or just over 2 weeks. And so that's why this sheriff, he's the first Republican elected sheriff in this county in over a decade. And this county's county government flipped from Democrat to Republican also 2 years and 2 years ago. And so a lot of that has to do on cultural issues, such as how do you manage crime, the fentanyl problem, but also on inflation.
This is Exurbia, I believe, somewhere between Cleveland downtown and Akron downtown, Portage
yes.
County and Summit County. So it is possible a few days a week to commute to either of those large cities, but you
yep.
can also work in Aurora. Now, this should not be an area threatened by crime, especially the crime associated with drugs, fentanyl, you mentioned, and the fentanyl deaths in America. So Sheriff Zukowski is seeing crime or victims of crime in his area, which is really, that's irregular, Selena. This is not big city crime.
Well, here's the problem. Akron, Ohio, which is just over the border Summit or Stark County, just over the border of Portage County, is the major distribution point for fentanyl in this country. It goes from Mexico to Akron and from Akron all points mid-Atlantic. It is the biggest supplier of fentanyl drugs. If you just Google Akron, Ohio and drug busts, you will find hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of crime rings busted out of this city. But it hasn't stopped them, because why? They get right back out. And so that is the challenge that this sheriff, who is a no-nonsense, consequence-for-your-actions sheriff, which is why he was elected 2 years ago. And so I think you see a sea change in Portage, but Akron continues to remain a problem for all the areas. I mean, Akron's one of the biggest distributors to West Virginia, right, of fentanyl.
Mr. Vance, who's a newcomer to politics and a young newcomer, known most famously for a best-selling book about America, this part of America, does he have any immediate concerns that he can use once, if he's as successful in the Senate? How does he talk about the crime in the area?
Well, he talks about it very personally and poignantly, because his mother was addicted to opioids for most of his childhood. She has just within the last 7 years become clean and sober. And he talked very emotionally how much it meant to him to see his mother with his children. He now has three with his wife, and the joy that he has seeing that recovery. And he wants that for all families. And so when you talk about it in such a personal way, people react to that. I mean, there wasn't a person in that room when asked if fentanyl or drugs or drug overdoses or drug crimes have impacted their life that they didn't raise their hand. That is not what you expect in middle class, upper middle class, suburban America.
Well, here's the puzzle then. Representative Tim Ryan has throughout his career maintained opinions of crime, of prosperity, of what needs to be done, that are consistent with many of the values that we all share, commonsensical. So the puzzle is how he has put himself into a position to be on the defensive about crime. We've talked about Tim Ryan before. If there's anything like a centrist Democrat, it was Tim Ryan. Has he changed?
Well, Tim spoke like a centrist Democrat, and he, unfortunately, he didn't vote like one. And that's where the rubber meets the road. You can say whatever you want, but if you don't walk the talk, people are going to view you skeptically. He's also taken money from the very companies, fundraising money from the very companies he has attacked for being part of creating the original opioid crisis, which began when with prescription over prescribing people in pain. A lot of that pain had to do with the jobs they used to have in the mill. It was really the impetus of this particular drug goes back about 20 years, and Ryan's career has gone from the beginning of this to the end of this with or to where we are today with really nothing to show for it. And he's introduced very little bills, and none of them on crime and none of them on drugs. So the voters are saying, well, we like you. Unfortunately, there's no there.
He is Portage County as well, and I believe Kent State's right in the middle of it.
Yep.
So he's well informed. I mean, Tim Ryan's a very smart person, and it's a puzzle to me. I've watched the campaign with your guidance. I've watched the campaign, and I've watched the campaign not respond to these questions about crime. But let's move to another campaign where we've watched, and we had a recent conversation about it. This is the Oz Fetterman campaign, just across the border. We're talking about two states that share everything, Ohio and Pennsylvania, the Keystone State. But Selena and I are partial to the Keystone State because that's our home state. The Fetterman campaign, I checked again on their website. They have a great deal to say about gun violence. Okay, fine. But very little to say, almost nothing I could find about the disruption in major cities. We've talked about Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and the profound change there. So let me check in on what Mr. Oz can do for these major crime threats to suburbia, to exurbia. It's not just downtown. Does Oz talk about it in his campaign?
He talks about it. He goes to the places where crime is rampant, in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, but also in the suburbs and the rural areas. What's happening in Philly has now spread out to Montgomery County, which you are very familiar with, but also Bucks and Chester and Delaware. And it's just incredibly out of control and people don't feel safe. Last week in Pittsburgh, in the very spot that I wrote about in June, where a person OD'd right in front of me at a heroin open market on the Pittsburgh's north side, in the same spot that I reported from and warned about this dangerous intersection, three people were shot, two of them innocent bystanders just waiting for the bus. They're all dead. They're absolutely all dead. And these Democrat-run cities have not handled it in a way that makes the citizenry feel safe and also feel as though they have a handle on understanding the problem.
In California, there's a direct link between the decisions by district attorneys. I'm looking at San Francisco and Los Angeles over these last years. And what are regarded as the outbreak of minor crime that turns into major crime. Is that a story in Pittsburgh as well and in Philadelphia? I think it is in Philadelphia. There's a district attorney there who does not believe or in some fashion participates in the decriminalization campaign. Does that happen in Pittsburgh?
No, it has not become a problem in Pittsburgh in terms of the district attorney. However, it has become a mandate from the mayor's office for the police not to pursue, not to be aggressive, and to like look the other way, and that is a problem because then, you know, these officers know that they're going to arrest this man or woman for doing whatever they're doing illegally, and they're going to be right back out because of the attitudes of city government.
I'm speaking with Selina Zito of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, of the Washington Examiner, and the New York Post. And we're talking about two states, the Buckeye State and the Keystone State. When we come back, we're going to talk about the 12th CD, downtown Pittsburgh, and the suburbs around in this midterm year where there may or may not be a wave. We'll see. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.